Welcome to the Orlando North Church Podcast. Through this podcast, we hope you'll be both encouraged and challenged as you hear what God is speaking to you. Orlando North is called to go and be Christ's church to the world through the Holy Spirit by connecting people to God and to each other for His glory. More details about our church will be available at the end of this podcast. Now, enjoy this week's episode.
So when we talk about worship, a number of questions come to mind that we need to address over the course of the next 5 weeks. Who, what, where, when, why, how? Okay? All these questions. Who do we worship? What do we worship? Why do we worship? When do we worship? Where do we worship? Why do we worship? How do we worship? All of these questions about worship. Now, here's the thing. In the American church specifically, how many of you guys have been in an American church besides today in the past 20 years? You've stepped foot into a church the past 20 years. Here's the deal. When we talk about worship, the one question that we emphasize in America over the last 50 years, really, is not who, what, where, when, why. It's how. Right? Right on? Like, when we talk about worship, or when we discuss worship, or when somebody says, hey, what church do you go to, and how, or what's their worship like, it's always about the how. How do people worship? What's their style? What's their method? Before I visit a church, I need to know kind of how they rock out. Are they going to be a band that has electric guitar? Are they going to be organ driven? Are they going to be old school piano driven? Are they going to have no instruments at all? Are they going to have a choir? Do they clap? Are there crazies in here and raise their hands? Are people going to be dancing? Are there going to be flags? Oh my gosh, are there going to be flags and banners, and I'm going to have to walk under a banner? And all what kind of stuff is going to be there? So we always talk about the how. So let's start there. What kind of worshiper are you? What kind of worshiper are you? Like, are you the groove? Like, you can sway, but that's about your limit. It's like you can rock back and forth a little bit. Are you the adventurer who can sneak a hand up, like one hand up, point it to Jesus? Like, when you're serious, like, it's you. Are you the crazy, emphatic, charismatic with both hands up, letting everybody see your armpit sweat? You're just, I am all in with this. Are you the humble worshiper, the meditator? Like, you've got the people that are, you know, the people in this room that when Chase is singing or Michelle is singing, you hear them more than you hear Chase and Michelle. I won't say any names, Louise. And so you're wondering who these people are, and they're just crazy worshipers. They're all out worship. If my dad is here, you can't hear anything but my dad. He's just like, blah. And so all this worship, are you the intellectual worshiper? I worship in my mind. I don't have emotion. Like, Mother's Day today will be like, honey, happy Mother's Day. I intellectually love you. And Jesus, I intellectually love you as well. So my hands are in my pocket. I love you. And I don't want to demonstrate. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. Here's the beautiful part about our church. Visitors, if this is your first time with us, you have come into a safe place and a crazy place. Here's why I say that. Because when we founded this church, we founded it with people who had a certain kind of background. And as we grew, all of a sudden, our background became more and more eclectic. Our body became more and more eclectic. In this room, here's what I need from you. Even if you're not Southern Baptist or Pentecostal in background, when I call your former denomination or where you are from, give me a little hoo hoo, all right? Practice. Hoo hoo. All right, or amen, or just give me something. Just let me know you're here, okay? Okay, so in this room, we have former Catholics, Episcopalians. Yeah, they're scared. They're like, are we really allowed? Are we really? Thanks, Chris. Baptist? A lot of Baptists. Methodist? All right. Presbyterians? Woo! Lutherans? All right. Crazy charismatic Pentecostals? There they are. Non-denoms? Yeah, you're like, I don't know if I should confess that, okay? So in this room, we've got all different faiths represented, even under the Christian umbrella. Also in this room, we have former atheists, agnostics. We have people who came from different religions all over the place, worshiping the same God under the same roof, and that's really freaking cool. I said freaking on Mother's Day. That's really cool. Not freaking cool. That's really cool, okay? So under this roof, we've got people from all different backgrounds, and I think that is incredible. Now, I grew up, you guys that know me know this, I grew up in a very Pentecostal church. Immediately, your mind just jumped to worship. I'm right. If you know what Pentecostal or charismatic means, you're going to my worship style. You're going to what my church did when I was a kid, okay? So when we think of worship, first and foremost, do we not think of religion? Yeah. Yes, that's the answer, okay? You know it's true, don't lie. You're in church on Mother's Day. Religion is what we think about when we think of worship. And when I say Pentecostal charismatic, you're like, oh my goodness, what just happened? So here's what I grew up in. I grew up in a church where we had Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night service. Each service was dedicated to a different branch of our church, okay? So Sunday mornings was really our seeker-sensitive church, which by all definition, it wasn't seeker-sensitive at all. But compared to our Sunday night service, which was for the faithful, like you come back on Sunday night if you are serious about Jesus, right? And there's total judgment in that. Like if you don't come to this, you ain't real. But if you come to this, you are real. And then you come on Wednesday night to the Bible study. But Sunday morning was kind of more kosher. It was a little bit more calm. But Sunday night is where we got our worship on. It was our worship service. Here's how it went. Tell me if this is the way it went with Episcopalian church, because I highly doubt it. I don't think we have anything in common when it comes to our backgrounds in church. So here's what we would do. On Sunday night, it's the faithful, okay? It's the really good. It's those of you guys that show up to worship night. We won't go there. So we got the Sunday night thing going on, and we start always the choir, the orchestra leader, the worship leader starts with a high praise song, like, I bring a sacrifice of praise, like all that. It's like high energy drums, choir's going crazy, just hands are lifted, clap. We're just going nuts, just high energy. All of this, we had a choir, it was really cool. We do two songs of fast songs, so it'd be I bring a sacrifice of praise, celebrate, Jesus, celebrate, dun, 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 dun. Right? Come on. Okay, Chris, see what you missed out on? This is good stuff. So we would go from that, and then the worship leader, all of a sudden, you know what worship leaders do? Chase just did it. They go high praise, high praise, high praise, fast song, fast song, fast song. All of a sudden, drums kick out. Boom. No more drums, right? You notice that? We're playing with your emotions. Jonathan kicks out. Guitar's gone. Oh, my gosh. It's just the keys. Worship pastor goes from, yes, yes, Jesus, praise him, glory, 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 to whisper voice, right? Magically, it's just whisper voice. You've never noticed? You go into the prayer, and the prayer is whisper voice. And all of a sudden the mood changes, and all of a sudden the lights dim, and everything gets different. And all of a sudden now we're, as the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. Come on. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. Okay, there's my Baptist. I knew you were here. So we would go into this, and all of a sudden, if it's Sunday night, and if it's a special Sunday night, and the pastor's feeling it, what does the pastor do? Feel the Spirit moving. Which means, whenever you hear a pastor say, the Spirit is moving, what does that mean? It means he ain't going to preach. Right? Also, I'm going to step out. Worship pastor, it's all yours. Basically, I can save this message till next week and not have to prepare all week long because the Spirit moved. Because apparently the Spirit doesn't move in the message. He only moves in the quote-unquote worship, which I take high offense to. High offense. That worship is only the music, and then I get up here and all of a sudden worship stops. It's like, something's wrong with that, right? So here we are. We do all these motions. Now, here's the cool part about my church, and maybe your church was like this as well. Sunday nights, if the Spirit really moved and the pastor wanted unity in the church, this would happen two or three times during the year, and I knew it. He would have us hold hands. We'd stand. We'd hold hands. You remember this? Teenagers, listen, here's a tip. If I ever do this, stand next to the cute girl, because it was really advantageous. If you would plan ahead, you'd have the cute girl next to you. The pastor would have you hold hands. If it was crazy worship night, not only would you hold hands, but you would bridge the gap in the aisle. You would come across the aisle, hands would be held. And then in that moment, teenagers had no choice. This is where teenagers who are shy and they're like, please don't make me do this. Please don't make me do this. Pastor, seriously, shoot your hands up in the air, everybody. So everybody shoots their hands up in the air. The super spiritual ones are swaying, pointing their fingers, and you as a teenager are shorter than everybody. You're just trying to hold on for the ride, and all of this is going on. This is a worship service. Here's my question now. Here's my fun stuff, right? Anybody else experience that besides me? Okay. I hope you experience it in heaven just to experience it, okay? Because it's pretty cool. And so here we are as kids that this is what it is. Now my question is that worship? Yes or no? Yes, 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 yes. Good answer. Now, the question that follows that, is that the only form? Is that the only thing worship looks like? No. Oh, you're good. We can dismiss and you're good. We're good. Go to Mother's Day lunch and we're all good. No, this is not worship all the time. Now, listen, my family and I were worshipers. you in here this service today, you are worshipers. You were just singing the songs. You were lifting your hands. We're a really bad clapping church. Like the clap thing, we are so Caucasian, it's ridiculous. So we're like, got it. Okay, so clapping, we're gonna get there. So, thank you, Shelley, for laughing. So we are going to get there one day. We're just not good at it. But we're worshipers. Now, here's the thing. My family and I are worshipers. You're worshipers. We're worshipers. Here's a suggestion for today, and this will set up the entire series. Regardless of your spiritual background, Catholic, Episcopalian, Baptist, Methodist, Lutheran, Pentecostal, Presbyterian, the intellectual, no matter what you are, if you're an agnostic or an atheist, you've never stepped foot in a church, you're Muslim, you're Buddhist, you're anything. If you are human, you know what you are? You are a worshiper. Now here's where it gets crazy. Not only are you a worshiper, but you're a really, really good worshiper. Matter of fact, you're a great worshiper. This series is not about teaching you how to be a great worshiper. You already are. Regardless of your background, regardless of who you worship, we all are great worshipers. Now, here's what worship is. This will set it up for us as we go into this series. Here's what worship is. Worship is our response to someone or something demonstrating its worth or value. So, whatever it is I worship, I'm giving you worth, I'm giving you value, I'm giving you adoration. With my life, I am saying, I adore you, I worship you, I value you. I give you my emotion, I give you my mind, I give you my heart, I give you my attention, I value you. Whatever that thing is or whatever that person is, that is what I worship. That is what I worship. So whether you're a Baptist, a Methodist, a Charismatic, an atheist, I worship something, worthy object, valued object, adored object. Now, I live in Florida. I've been living in Florida since we moved down here in 1998. Y'all can worship. Gator fans, give me chomp chomp.
Wow. Okay, come on, guys.
Really? That I am going to hold against you forever because that was straight up embarrassing. Gator fans? Let's try again. Gator fans? No, it really is that bad. Oh, my gosh. Do we have Knowles in here? Oh, all the racist chants going on. That's great. Okay, what about the UCF Knights? We got some Knights. Wolverines, go blue. See, Wolverines are best. Ohio State, we just ignore you. Okay, go away.
Amen.
People who don't care about sports at all? How do I get you guys? How? It's a miracle. It's amazing. I love all my sports fans that are nothing like me. Let's talk Gator fans. Let's make fun of Gator fans for a minute, because I love making fun of Gator fans. At least you're good at something. So you beat us in baseball. Definitely not football, but let's talk football, Joe, shall we? Let's talk football for a minute. Let's talk worship and football. Hey, non-sports fans, can the Florida Gator fans worship? Yeah, they can, right? Noel fans, can you worship? Knight fans, Wolverine fans, can you worship? On Saturdays, it's about to start, right? I guess it's not about to start. It's around the corner. In August, all of a sudden, football season begins. All of a sudden, in August through basically January 1st, for the Gators, it typically ends middle of December. But for everybody else, it goes through about January. Worship season. I love you. I love you. I love you, 41-7. We do the same thing. So I'm talking about Gator fans, but I'm talking about all sports fans. On Saturdays, starting in August, all of a sudden the colors come out. In unison, you're wearing blue and orange. In unison, you're heading to the swamp, and you get in the swamp. And I'm telling you, I've been to the swamp. It's exciting, but those seats are so uncomfortable. You are literally jammed in here like this, and you don't care. Because for the next 2 or 3, 4 hours, you are going to worship with 100,000 other people dressed exactly like you, singing the exact same anthems and songs and victory songs and fight songs to this team on the field. You're going to do that pence thing, 1 pence, 2 pence, whatever that is. You go Gators, you're going to do this all day long. You're going to annoy everybody. No, 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 no. Go Gators. All day. Look at this picture. These are Gator fans. These are Gator fans. Now, the guys in the front, that's typical college. I am drunk. Mom, please don't see me on TV. But I am worshiping my Gators. Now, there's a couple people I want to point out. Number one, the guy in the middle, just doing this that kind of looks like me. I could totally be that guy. The mom in the upper right is my favorite. She doesn't remember her college days. And she is totally, don't sit in the student section if you don't want to be around that. My third favorite is the girl that's chomping, trying to get her chomp on, but the guy in front of him is worshiping by picking his nose. You got it? So they are worshiping. This is worship together in unison. They are worshiping by singing the song of the Gators, decorating their car as the Gators, wearing the colors of the Gators, coming together as Gators, declaring their chant for their team and lifting their hands every time their team does something that excites them. Go Gators. We're the object, valued object, adored object. Go Gators. Is that wrong? Does God hate it that you love football?
No.
Jen, no. If you tell me differently, I'm walking out. No, of course God doesn't hate football. Here's how I know God doesn't hate football. You've heard of audio adrenaline. Am I right? Jay likes this joke. Audio adrenaline, big, big house. Come and go with me to my father's house. What's in that big, big house? A big, big yard where we can play football. All right? So we know football's in heaven because audio adrenaline said it. So God loves football. We know God loves football, and he kind of loves the Gators. And so football's okay. Here's what the problem is. Here's where the problem is. This is what today is all about. God is a jealous God. God is a jealous God, and he will not share his throne with another. So if we are putting someone or something on the throne of our life that is not him, then we are worshiping the wrong something or someone. The question that our generation should not be asking is not how do we worship, but who do we worship? Because if we get that right, the how takes care of itself. Is the how important? Yep. And we're going to talk about it. But we can't talk about it without first saying, wait a minute, what is on your throne? Here's the deal. Every single one of us, and we're going to open up the scriptures. So if you have your Bibles, please start turning to Acts chapter 17. Here's the deal. In the book of Psalms, you've read some of it. Maybe you've read all of it. The book of Psalms is all about worship. It's David and another author writing songs about worship to God. It's either talking about worship or in itself, it's a prayer or a worship song. It's all about worship. Here's the problem with America, and all you sports fans are off the hook for this. Our Saturdays, you know this is true. Sometimes our Saturdays look more like the book of Psalms than Sundays do. This is where you, amen. Preach it, brother. Come on. Come on, somebody. All right. Saturdays sometimes look like the book of Psalms more than our Sundays do. Here's what's happening. In our lives, every day we live our lives, we are creating a trail. Remember Brady Bunch when Bobby laid down the popcorn going to the little cave? Awesome show. You should watch Brady Bunch. It's incredible. It's incredible. Those were cool kids. So they would, Marsha, they would lay this popcorn trail to this cave where they would go, and I think Vincent Price was in the cave, and scare them to death, and all these weird things happen, but people could find them because they left a trail. In your life, you leave a trail everywhere you go. At the end of that trail is a throne. On that throne is the one or the something that you worship. What is that trail comprised of is the question. How do I know what I worship? Because in here, you're like, I worship Jesus. I'm all about Jesus. I'm all about God. Well, that's cool and all, but can I see your trail? Because your trail will tell me the truth about who or what you worship. Your trail is your time, your money, and your emotions. Where are those things being spent? Where's your money being spent? Where's your time being spent? Where's your emotions being spent? Because if I watch these things, I'm going to see who is on the throne of your life. I am going to see those things. And you're going to see those things. Now, here's the thing. Sometimes on the throne of your lives is something silly like football. And we know it. We know it. We get so emotionally charged up for stuff like that. And then we come in here on Sundays and we're exhausted from worshiping our God the day before. Or we don't even come on Sundays because we're worshiping something else. I won't go there, but I'm going to talk about this for a minute. At the end of our trail is something or someone. At the end of our trail that we are worshiping. And we worship those things really, really well. And so we leave this trail, and it reveals the truth. Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's Matthew chapter 6. So whenever you follow the trail of your affections, your worthy objects, your valued objects, what is sitting there? Is it a person, a team, a thing, a relationship? Listen, for the majority of us, if God isn't sitting on our throne, you know who is? Me. If we follow the time and the emotion and the pain and everything that's going on, our money, if we follow it all the way back, we see all of a sudden on the throne is us. And we should be singing, I worship. This is so much singing on my part today. You are so welcome, moms. This is my gift to you. I worship me. The reason I live is to worship me. If that's really our heart, we should just be singing. At least we're speaking the truth. But if we follow our trail, this is often what we find on there. God is not trying to get us to be good worshipers or great worshipers. You already are. God is trying to get our hearts so that we become true worshipers, worshiping him. Now, Acts chapter 17, really cool passage of scripture. Let's walk through this real quickly and we'll be done. Get you to lunch. Acts chapter 7, you there? If you don't have it, listen, a couple ways that you can follow along with us. Number one, we have Bibles available at our tables. You can go get one. You can also follow along on the screen behind me. If you have your phone or a tablet of some sort, you can go to the YouVersion app, and you can go on there and find us under events. Go to other events and then Orlando North Church, and all of our notes will be there. So listen to this. In Acts chapter 17, this is the Apostle Paul talking to a group of men, a group of philosophers. We'll go over it in just a minute. In the city of Athens. Verse 22, Acts chapter 17. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, oh my gosh, I've practiced this so many times, Areopagus. Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. Now, I have taught out of this passage of Scripture probably three times in our church's existence. I love this passage of Scripture. This Scripture just opens up my eyes to worship unbelievably. So Paul is coming. He's coming into the city of Athens. We know because you went to history class and you paid attention in history, right? And you went, and you're like, oh, no, I didn't. Let me bring you back. Back in the day, the Greek philosophers were really, really smart. And they shaped culture. They shaped everybody. They shaped our culture today, these Greek philosophers. And so these men in Athens are sitting there. And what they would do on a daily basis is at the Areopagus, they would sit around and they would talk philosophy. That's all they would do. The women were probably at home doing all the work. And the men would stand around and talk philosophy. To me, I'm like, that sounds horrible. That's like a horrible, horrible day. But they're really brilliant minds, and they would sit there and they'd talk about world religions. They would talk about their religions. They would talk about all these gods, all these things. And Paul shows up on the scene to confront and to talk to these guys in a really incredible way. Verse 23, and he says, men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are religious. So he's like, he's commending them. He's complimenting them. You know how you do that, leaders? Like when you have to deal with an employee or a stubborn student, before you go right in and just rip them, you're like, you have a nice shirt, right? You find something you can sandwich a compliment with. Warm them up, smack them, give them another compliment, you're out the door. So this is what Paul's doing. He's like, guys, you are so religious. Well done. Great job at being worshipers, which is true. You are great worshipers. So I perceive that in every way you are very religious. Verse 23, for as I passed along and I observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. What therefore you worship is unknown, this I proclaim to you. God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation. So he's talking about Adam way back in creation. He made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way towards him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. I could preach right there, right? Just stop and go all spirit moving, preach on that line, right? He is not far from us. You got it? Meditate on that one this week. He is not far from us. Verse 28, for in him we live and move and have our being. Anybody want to bust into 80s song? For in him we live and move and have our being. I am boring you now. So in him we live and move and have our being. This is not an original. This is Paul quoting somebody else. He's using their philosophy and bringing it back to this unknown God. For from him we live and move and have our being. This one that you don't know, let me tell you about him. As even some of your own poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring. Let's talk about what's going on. This is so cool. Paul is walking into Athens with all these Greek scholars, these philosophers that are just academically off the charts. And he noticed that at the Areopagus, in this thing, there's this aisleway of all of these gods. There's erected idols of all of these gods. Okay, so you've got gods for everything. You've got the god of the sky, the god of the earth, god of the fish, god of fire, god of love, god of war, every single god you can imagine is there. And then they come out and you see that they are both superstitious and OCD all at the same time. Because at the end of this aisle, there's a just-in-case god. The unknown god. They're like, okay, we've tried to cover all the bases with the god of the land, fish, sky, sea, war, love, all of this. But you know what? Just in case we missed one, we don't want to offend all the gods or the ones that we missed. So let's do something. Let's erect one god that covers everything that we missed. And on it, they label to an unknown god. Here's the beauty of what Paul does. Paul is the world's greatest preacher ever. Well, Jesus. And then we'll go with Paul, okay? But Paul is one of those guys that he's like, hey, you give me any topic, I can transform it into a message on the gospel. So you give me the unknown God, let me talk, okay? I think I've told you this before, but back when I worked at Calvary Assembly and it was on the youth staff, there were five pastors in the youth office. There were five of us. And we would have a contest. We'd have a battle at lunch. This is so nerdy, it's ridiculous. We would pull out an object and say, turn it into the gospel. Any object. So pull out a paperclip. Well, that's easy. Paperclip holds paper together. You know what God does through Jesus? He holds us together in Christ. And so any object that's out there, you transform it into a message on the gospel. That's what we do. It's ridiculous. And Paul's like, oh, unknown God? Can I talk to you about this guy? Because let me commend you. You guys are great worshipers. I perceive that you are very religious. Well done, guys. Really well done. You're great worshipers. And I see that you have all these objects, and at the end, there's this one, the unknown God. Can I tell you about him? Because this God is the one who created everything. And you're looking at all these gods, and you're saying, this God, this God. Let me tell you, this is the only God. You don't need these gods. This is the God of heavens and earth that created everything and determined everything, and through his son, Jesus, saved you and rescued you should you receive what he has given you. So he basically explains the gospel that all of us are sinners. All of us are separated from God because God is holy and we are unholy. And so God does the unthinkable when he sends Jesus to this earth to live a spotless life as one of us, ultimately dies for our sins on a cross and raises from the dead. So anybody that just believes in him, says yes to him, has faith in him, should have eternal life. And you can't buy your way in. You can't do good things to get your way in. You just say, by faith, I receive you. I surrender my life to you. That's the unknown God. That's what I'm talking about. This is the God that you are missing. This is the God that you're not paying attention to. Now, here's the crux of everything going on. Let's talk about Satan for a minute on Mother's Day. That's so much fun. It's what you thought your two-year-olds were way back in the day. Okay, so let's talk about Satan for just a second. Satan, we've got this image of Satan. And I think part of it is because we live in Orlando and we drive on I-4 and we see the Universal Studios Hollywood Horror Nights posted everywhere. Moms, you remember when they were kids and you had to be like, duck, we got to drive past these things, duck, you're not allowed to look, it'll scare you, it scares me. So all of this. So we have this image of what Satan looks like and the way he works. He's dressed in this red bodysuit, leotard. He's got some weird tail poking out. And he's got little horns and he's got his beer or whatever. And we think that he's this creepy, I'm going to scare you like Jason and Friday the 13th or Freddy Krueger or Halloween. And this is what he comes across as to us, to scare us and to make us follow him. And maybe sometimes. And there's demonic stuff in there. I get all that. But let me tell you how Satan works most of the time. All he's trying to do, his win in life, is if he can get you to worship anything other than God. Anything. Anyone, anything other than him, he wins. So he's a deceiver. So he's not going to come at you as Halloween Horror Nights. He's going to come at you as football. You ever seen a Michael Jackson concert? Watch a Michael Jackson concert. There's some worship going on there. Okay? Older people, you had the Beatles. You know what I'm talking about. Younger people, girls, you had Justin Bieber at one time, right? So there's this worship going on, and Satan's not coming across going, hey, Hollywood Horror Nights, and he yes, but for the most part, all he's trying to do is to distract your worship away from God. You see, in order for Satan to win, it's not necessarily a God versus Satan thing, it's a God versus the rest of the field thing. If he can get you to worship anything, anyone other than God, he wins. So it's not, you don't have to worship me. Worship a team, I don't care. Worship a dollar amount, I don't care. Worship a career, Worship safety. Worship your kids. Worship your marriage. Worship this. Even worship your religion. Worship, worship. I don't care. As long as you're not worshiping God, I win. So today, before we go any farther, before we talk about the how or the where or the when or anything like that, we've got to say, what is your trail leading us to? Who are we worshiping? What are we worshiping? Because Satan wins if it's anything other than God. I know you don't watch golf. If you don't watch football, you're certainly not watching golf. But you know who Tiger Woods is, right? You watch golf but no football? Okay, so you watch both. Okay, so some of you guys watch golf, okay? Tiger Woods, heard of him? He's kind of a has-been now. It's kind of sad. I want to see him come back. There was a day, not long ago, where Tiger Woods was so good that in Vegas, if you wanted to bet on golf, you would either have to bet on Tiger Woods or the field. Like once upon a time, if you gambled on golf, don't gamble, mothers. And so once upon a time, when you would gamble on golf, you would gamble on a particular player saying, I think Jack Nicklaus is going to win. Arnold Palmer is going to win. Gary Player is going to win. You'd go to Vegas, there'd be odds. Well, Tiger became so good that you could bet on a tournament saying either Tiger is going to win or the other 70 men are going to win. Instead of taking a specific player, you could take the field. You could take the entire field. This is the strategy of Satan. You've got God or you've got the field. Who or what are you going to worship? This morning, as we go on, because we're going to talk about everything in worship. Next week, we're going to talk about the great exchange. Romans chapter 1, verse 21 through 23. For although they knew God, talking about Christians, they did not honor God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. They claimed to be wise, but they became fools. Why did they become fools? Because they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Mankind became fools when we chose the field over God. They're like, wait, I don't worship images. I don't worship creeping things. Because this is back in the day when they were worshiping animals. They were worshiping golden statues. You're like, I don't have golden statues set up in my home. Okay. But I'm asking what statues are built up in your heart. Because we do. We do all these things. I'm just as guilty. Now, enjoying football, enjoying basketball, enjoying a Michael Jackson concert. Well, that's not a good example. Enjoying a concert. There's nothing wrong with that. But the minute the worship of that person or that thing trumps our worship of Jesus, then all of a sudden our heart is idolatrous. All of a sudden we're worshiping something that's not God, and all of a sudden we're playing the field. Playing the field. The wisdom of man in America says we've got it all together. It's all about us. I know what I'm doing. We'll talk about hedonism next week. We'll talk about all this stuff next week. I know what I'm doing. I'm wise. I've got it. And God comes along and goes, you don't have a clue. Your thinking is futile. You're foolish. Where you think you're wise, you're foolish. If you're worshiping the field, if you're worshiping your career, if you're worshiping a dollar amount, if you're worshiping your kid, if you're worshiping athletics, if you're worshiping music, if you're worshiping entertainment, if you're worshiping your relationship, if you're worshiping money, if you worship anything other than God, you're foolish. And he's gently saying, listen, turn your heart's affections back towards me. It's not how you worship, it's who or what you worship. That's what matters. And who or what you worship drives your how. It drives your when. It drives your why. Because it's him. It's him. Will you bow your heads with me this morning? All I want to do today is recalibrate us as we get started on this journey. I'm begging you, ladies and gentlemen, even if it's your first time, I'm begging you, walk with us through this series. I think it has the potential to change your life as we open the scriptures and find out what God says about worship. So I compliment you as we finish today. I compliment you. You are a really great worshiper. Rob, you don't even know me. Nope. But I know what you are because you were created as a worshiper. And so today I'm just asking, let's recalibrate. Let's remember who we're supposed to worship. If we're playing the field, if we're worshiping something that we're not supposed to be, let's recalibrate. And maybe today, listen, maybe today you're in here and this is the first time you've heard the message of the gospel, you've heard the good news of Jesus, and I'm here to tell you what he has done for you will drive you to worship when you understand what he has done. You were a sinner. All of us were. You're not alone in this boat. All of us, every single one of us was a sinner separated from God. But by the mercy and the grace of Jesus through his death and resurrection, he said, hey, come to my family. I want to redeem you. I want to bring you from death and slavery, and I want to adopt you into my kingdom where you're no longer condemned to hell for eternity, but now you are part of this family, this heavenly family for eternity where you will be connected with God. So if that's you this morning, listen, the Bible says all we need to do is confess our sin, confess in our hearts that Jesus is Lord, believe in our hearts that he raised from the dead. The Bible says we will be saved. We will be rescued from where we're at, and we will be made right with our Heavenly Father through Jesus. You can't buy your way in. You can't do enough good works. You can't worship something else and get in. He says, give me your life. Give me your life in faith. Trust that this is true. You don't have to know everything. You don't have to clean everything up. Trust me, you don't have to clean everything up. He'll work on you. That's not your job. Watch what he does. So if that's you here today, all you need to do is in your heart, just where you're at, just pray, Jesus, forgive me. I understand I'm a sinner. I understand that I'm separated from you, and I commit my life to you. For everybody else this morning, if this is you, listen, just I'm not going to make anybody stand. Just you can do the little shy raise my hand. If that's you, if you're like, man, you know what? There are areas in my life that I'm struggling with. There are areas that I know I've put on the throne, and I need to recalibrate. I need Jesus on the throne of my life. If you were to follow my trail, you would find something else there than Jesus. If that's you, would you just slip up your hand? We've all been there. Heavenly Father, this morning, we praise you and thank you for your Son that made all of this possible. Thank you that we have a God that we can worship who is true and right, that you are the ultimate. Today we surrender our lives to you. We give our hearts to you as best as we know how. I pray that God, where we have been worshiping other things, things that aren't necessarily bad, but once they're turned into the thing, they become idols. I pray in Jesus' name, you'd help us to knock those down to where they belong and elevate you to where you belong. Be our primary. Be the one that we are about. I pray that for us as a church, Sundays would start looking like a book, Psalms. That we would come in here celebrating your goodness, worshiping you for who you are. Father, for all those that today might be committing their lives to you for the first time, I pray in Jesus' name that you would give them the courage in their hearts to pray this prayer, to confess that they are far from you, that they're a sinner in need of your grace, and you have promised that your grace is sufficient for them, no matter how deep they feel far from you, how deep their sin is, how messy their life is, your grace is sufficient. May they just surrender. Thank you, Christ. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
If you're not already a part of Orlando North, please know that we'd love to have you come visit us on Sunday morning at 10:30 for our weekly worship service. We're located at 1021 Douglas Avenue in Altamont Springs, Florida. Come as you are and be welcomed by a church that is eager to connect with you. For more information about our church, you can check us out on the web at OrlandoNorth.com.